that whole anointed and appointed thing. That's powerful. That's powerful. I don't care who you are. That's powerful. I have a slideshow to start out with. So as soon as we get my computer switched, because it's on my computer, then I will show it to you guys. And I'll talk about it while it's playing so that you know what's going on. So we'll wait just a minute. Where I went, though, while we're waiting, was Unitedville, Belize. And Belize, oh, okay, there we go. Started from the beginning. It's like a little bit in the middle. But Belize borders Mexico and Guatemala, and it's on top of Honduras on the Caribbean Sea. And I was in the Cayo district. You got to plug in the volume too, the gray one. Sorry. and the Cayo district's like right in the middle. Yeah, well, it might start in a second. It gets louder. Yeah, did you plug in the... Do you have it in the headphones one? Okay, thanks. It's on the right side of the computer. Sorry, technical difficulties.
I asked Brooke to share today. Many of you remember that we gave an offering. Gave offering to her to go on a missions trip, and the missions trip she went on was to Belize. And so I wanted to hear, and I wanted all of us to hear, what God did while she was there and the fruit of your giving. And so she was so graciously to agree to do that today, thinking that I may be out still with grandbabies. So I appreciated her doing that. But also, she leaves to go back to college today. So we had to snag her before she had to get on the road and go back to that. But she went with a group and some other groups. So she's going to share with you today and tell you about what all went on with that trip. And to tell you, thank you for those who invested in the missions trip and the trip that she went on to enable her and the group to go and do what they did in Belize. So that's what she's going to share that with you as soon as they get that set up and ready to go.
Okay, that's all right. Here, let me just check it. Everything's where it's supposed to be.
It's playing the system audio a little bit, the speakers, but it's not playing.
It's weird. It was working this morning. Church. That's their church. It's just a thatched roof. I was teaching Sunday school there. that's the vacation Bible school we did with them. Was at a school. I danced at church on Wednesday night. Tyler ministered a little bit. Turn the lights on real quick. Again, I'll repeat where I was. I was in Unitedville, Belize, and Belize is underneath Mexico, under the Yucatan Peninsula, and beside Guatemala and above Honduras, and it's on the Caribbean Sea. And Unitedville is in the Cayo districts. They're set up into districts, kind of like we are states or counties. It's very small, so, but it's like kind of right dead center of the country, but on the Guatemalan border. And so that's where we were. And I was at Mount Hope Bible Church with Pastor Ron and his wife Linda Brayton. And we got in contact with them because the people I went with were Melanie and Tyler. You probably saw them on the picture and seen them around here. So that's my aunt and my cousin. But Melanie used to live in New York, and when she did, she went to a church there called, I think it was Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle, and she was in this guy's youth group, so Pastor Ron was her youth leader, and when she, he moved away, and she moved away, and so they kind of lost contact for a while, and me and Tyler were talking, and, you know, we really wanted to do a mission trip, well, mainly me, it was kind of me, but Tyler was kind of into that too, and you know, you guys know that I'd been wanting to do this for a long time. I'd had this, you know, just desire and want to go and see the nations and touch the nations. And Melanie had gotten back in contact with Pastor Ron via Facebook, and he'd been living in Belize for the past 15 years, 16, I think, actually, 16 years, and had this church and stuff, and they host missions teams. So they bring teams in. They've got a team there right now. They, you know, throughout the summer and the rest of the year, they bring people in and, you know, are able to do that and host that. So she's like, you know, well, we're really kind of interested. You know, we would love to do that. So it was originally just going to be me and Tyler. So we were talking about it, but then, you know, we really felt, and Melanie had been ministered to, and that she needed to go too, that this trip was as much for her as it was for us. And so she was able to come along with us, which I was extremely excited about. And so the three of us packed our bags, and we went to Belize, which was amazing. So I'm just going to talk about first what I did a little bit. So we got there Friday night, Friday evening, right before dinner time. So it was pretty chill that evening because they don't do work after the evening. They do all their work in the morning because it gets really hot in the day. So they do their work in the morning, and then after dinner, they don't do work anymore. They just lounge or, you know, relax, get a snack, or the boys like to play soccer. Football there, soccer here. On Friday night, we went into, like, the town area, and we just kind of walked around and looked at shops, so we didn't really do much that night. But then Saturday morning, we got up, and they had their youth there, so we washed chairs in the sanctuary, because as you saw, the sanctuary is just a thatched roof. There's no walls or doors. It's just an open space with a roof. It was beautiful, though. So they use plastic chairs, but they stack up the chairs and put them away after church and stuff. So we washed all the chairs down, and that took pretty much most of the morning. And then in the afternoon, they do a library down there. Miss Linda goes into the schools and reads to the children and provides a library for them. But because the weather down there is very harsh, it's extremely humid and very hot, and they have bugs, they have to collect all those books at the end of the school year. They can't just leave them sitting in the school. So she had just recently collected all of those books, so then somebody had to sort through them. So we sorted through the books and put them on shelves and cleaned off the ones that needed cleaned and put them by age group, because she had them sorted by, like, your reading level. So we put them with their reading level and stuff and made them a little more organized than they had started with. And that was our Saturday day. And then they had youth group that night. So we went to youth group, and their youth pastor's name was Ali San, and he was pretty cool. They played a game. They had about 60 youth, which was huge. They had a huge youth group. It was enormous. It was probably, like, the size of everyone in here. But not all those kids came to church, but if they were in the youth group, which, I, you know, that's important that they're getting that seed in them. But so they played a couple games, and then they split up. Their age for their youth group was pretty broad. It was kind of like ours. They had, like, 11-year-olds to, like, 20-something-year-olds, because the kids just didn't want to stop going to youth group. I know what that's like. But so they had a lot of people there, and then they split up, so they took, like, the 11 to 14-year-olds and put them in a different room with another guy, and so then it was, we stayed with the older ones, though. And Pastor Allison talked about John the Baptist and preparing the way, and he was talking about how, you know, John the Baptist came in, and he was preaching the message, you know, repent and be baptized and all that, and he was preparing the way for Christ, and he, you know, said, you know, for us, we need to be those people preparing the way, you know, because the ministry of Christ is still alive and it's still moving, and we need to be those people going out and, you know, still spreading that message and preparing the way. And I thought his message was really good, and I really enjoyed it. So that was Saturday. And then on Sunday, we had church in the morning, which their church services were really great. I mean, there wasn't anything, like, too different or, like, more special than ours, but I just really felt the anointing on the services, which I enjoyed. And we taught Sunday school that morning because Miss Linda had asked us to. And the kids had been doing a series on Peter. So they just finished up with Peter, and she was going to put it away, but I said, I know a song about Peter. I said, we can do Run, Peter, Run. So I taught about Peter running to the grave to find that Jesus had been risen. And so then I taught them Run, Peter, Run. So that was fun, and they did a coloring sheet, and they got to keep with their Peter lessons and learn a new story. And I asked them if they liked the song Run, Peter, Run, and they told me, no, it was boring. So apparently I need better songs. But it was good to work with the kids, and we got to know them a little before we did our, like, vacation Bible school. And we worked with ages 5 to 10, so we worked with the little kids. But they were really fun. They were such just happy kids. They were so joyful. They were really cute. Some of them were a little ornery, but what, five-year-olds aren't. So then, like, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our days pretty much looked pretty similar. In the mornings, we would either work some more in the library or do just odd things they needed. One day, we it had rained really hard, and because there's no walls in the sanctuary, when the wind blew, it blew some water in, so we washed the floors and pushed the water out of the sanctuary and stuff. So we just did whatever needed done. And then in the afternoon, we did the vacation Bible school. So each me, Melanie, and Tyler took a day. And the one I did the first day, and we did make a joyful noise. So I talked about praise and worship and making a joyful noise and, you know, all those things. And then we did a craft, and we made maracas. I don't know if you saw them in the picture. They turned out really good. I was really happy about that. But we did Easter eggs with beans inside, and then you duct tape spoons around them for the handle, and they make maracas, and they were cool, and the kids really liked them. And a lot of those kids are not very well off, so that was a toy that they could take home and play with where they might not have had one otherwise. And that day, Tyler wasn't with us for the Bible school because he had went out and worked on a house with some of the guys. A previous mission team had come and started a house, but they didn't finish the house that they had started. So, of course, that house needed finished. Someone needed to live there. So they had some teenage boys who lived there, like, on the compound. And so Tyler went with them and went and worked on the house. So that was a good experience for him. But we stayed and worked with the kids. And then I taught them a dance. It was Awaken Me. It was the song that played there. That was the song that they danced to. And those kids learned really fast, really fast. They learned the entire song in 2 days. The entire thing, but they really enjoyed it. I know that you could just see their face light up when they did it, and they have a drama team there at their church, and some of the girls on the drama team actually help with the little kids, so they were there, and I think it was really cool for them to see someone else outside of their church who did something, and they were shocked that I came up with my own moves. Apparently, they YouTube all their dances, and so they were, like, surprised that I came up with my own moves to the song, but so I was glad that I got to bless them as well, and then so the next day, on Tuesday, Tyler talked, and he did Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors, but we had, like, a book, actually one we found in the library, about Joseph, and it went through, like, the full story of Joseph, but it was a kid's story, so he got to, like, teach the whole thing, and we're sitting there watching, and those kids, they look like they're spacing out, like, they're looking around, and they're not paying attention, and twiddling with their hair and stuff, and I'm like, those kids did not hear a single word that he just said. But then he goes to ask questions. They knew every single answer, every single one. Like, even he was like, where did Joseph end up at? And one was like, Egypt. We're like, what? And they were like, what was Joseph's coat dipped in? Blood. We're like, oh my gosh, they knew every single one. They didn't even look like they were paying attention, but they knew everything. And then, so that day, we made little Josephs out of paper bags. We cut up colorful pieces of paper and glued them onto a paper bag and drew a face, and so it was kind of like a puppet, and we made Josephs, and they enjoyed that. And we got to do games with them every day, too. I forgot to mention that Miss Linda had games for them. So one day we played musical chairs, and you saw that we did the hula hoop game like we did at camp and stuff. So that was fun, and then we danced. And it was so hot that day. So after we danced, because I'm not used to the humidity and the heat like they are, I'm, like, panting. I'm like, and so Miss Linda brought us all out freeze pops, but they were called Ideals there, and they're a little bit fatter and shorter, but when I first tasted one, I wasn't dancing, and I thought they were like syrup. They were so sweet. I was like, oh gosh, man, what is this? Because everything down there was super sweet, like the sodas, everything. And so she brought them out that day, and she gave us all those freeze pops when it was hot like that, and suddenly they didn't seem so sweet anymore. They were just right. No, but, and then on Wednesday afternoon, in the morning, actually, instead of, like, working around there, Miss Linda, they do some summer school programs, and so she took us out to one of the summer schools that the kids were learning at, and so we got to I did the Make a Joyful Noise lesson again, and we made maracas with them because we had lots of leftover supplies with that one, so that was really good that we got to go outside of the village that we were in into another one, and into the school, and we got to minister and be with those kids and teach them, which was great. And all of their schools down there are either Catholic or Anglican. They don't have, like, they have, like, a few public schools, but even there, like, they don't have any rules about, like, sharing Jesus or you know, giving Bible stories and stuff. So they really actually love it when you can come in and do that, which I think is great that in their schools you're allowed to come in and you're allowed to tell them about Jesus and you're allowed to encourage that. And so, but the schools you do have to pay for, because they're not public schools. Every kid has to pay tuition no matter how old, which actually puts them in quite a predicament, because those people, they don't have money. They don't have things. So it's like, I either send my kid to school or I eat this week. And, you know, most of the time they're going to choose I'm going to eat. And so that's part of the reason why Pastor Ron and Miss Linda had a lot of kids living at their facility, is because they sponsor those kids to go to school. And they send them to school where if they were at their homes, or they just had rough home lives and needed a new place to stay. But so they're, and then they say that only like 50% of kids, you have to take like a test in middle school to go on to high school. They said like only 50% of those kids pass the test to move on to high school, and only like 20% of the kids that pass the test actually graduate high school. So they have a very low education. Yeah, they don't have a big graduation rate there, and they don't really. A few of the kids in the church I talked to had just graduated high school, and they were getting ready to go to college. So there were a few kids that were, you know, even pursuing more than that, but that's not common. And, like, a couple of the kids were, like, 2 years behind in school because they had been taken out. And so the couple kids, one of the kids I met there had just graduated that year, and he was my age. He was 20. So he graduated 2 years later than he was supposed to. But it was great that he got to be able to go back to school, and that Pastor Ron and Miss Linda supported him for that. And the kid I'm actually talking about is now, he left, like, 2 weeks ago to go to Tanzania to be a missionary sent from their church, and it was the first person from their church sent as a missionary. So they were pretty ecstatic about that, and so they're just, you know, be in prayer for him, and they asked for that, to, you know, just pray for him and pray for their church. His name was Akeem, and he is in Tanzania right now as a missionary, which I think is really awesome that he came from that place. He graduated school 2 years late, you know, opportunities that you don't think would have came his way. And he's, you know, out there sharing God, which I think is fantastic. Can I finish the BDS stuff? But anyways, back to the Vacation Bible School. So that Wednesday afternoon, real quick, we did one more lesson, and we taught about, we did the bracelets where each color means something. It's like red for the blood of Christ, white for purity, blue for baptism, and all those things. We did those with the kids, so Melanie taught that one, and she talked about Good Friday and Jesus dying on the cross because we had a book, and then we made the bracelets and danced some more. So that was our Vacation Bible School that we did for those 3 days, and then on Wednesday night, the kids ministered, and they did amazing, and their dance was really awesome. I was really proud of them. What do you want me to tell about the kids? Yeah, they had a bunch of kids. You saw some of them on there, like the little girl I was holding. Her name was Amani. She was the sweetest little thing. She was 2. She loved Tyler. She did not, she liked me, but not the way she loved Tyler. Every morning she woke up and said, "Where's Tyler? Where's Tyler?" One night she didn't want to go to bed, and Miss Linda said, "You know, you have to go to bed." She said, "Is Tyler going to go to bed?" She said, "Yes." She goes, "Is Brooke going to go to bed?" "Yes." But they had Amani, and then they had 2 more little girls. One was 9 and one was 13. And they had a bunch of boys, like 7 of them. And I think that was all the kids that lived there. But those kids, again, were kids that they were their sponsoring or had like a bad home. Like in Amani's instance, obviously she's not old enough to go to school yet, but her mom had been a part of the church before that and left. And she was young. I think she's younger than me. And she got pregnant and came back. And, you know, she had the baby, and at first she wanted to be the mom, but when the baby was, like, 9 months old, she decided she didn't want to be the mom anymore, so she just gave him to Miss Linda and passed her on and said, "I don't want her anymore, you can be her parents," and just gave her up. She just decided she didn't want to be a mom anymore. And one of the girls that was there, she was verbally abused, and I think more than that, abused in her home, so she was there. They took her in when she was real young. So most of the boys, it was schooling, but some of them was just real bad home lives and stuff. One of the guys they had there since he was 6 years old, and he's 18 now, his name was Melvin, but he was a kid, and he was in school, and he was doing really poorly in school, and the, you know, no one knew why, and so they came in, and It turned out that he didn't know any English. He only spoke Spanish, didn't know a word of English. And Belize is an English-speaking country, so, like, their classes and everything are taught in English. And his teacher had no idea. His teacher had no idea that he couldn't speak any English. And so, you know, and just I think that his home was kind of rough, too. And so they took him in and housed him. And now he still lives there, and he's doing really great. And he does rap music, and he's really good. He had a CD, but I forgot to grab it before I left to buy it. But what they do, their ministry there, I think, is really just about kind of loving on the people and creating new opportunities and creating a place where they can experience the love of God and be cared for and know that someone thinks that they're important and someone thinks, you know, awesome, that they're awesome. And so it was just really eye-opening to see that and see that they just opened their home to so many, like, you know, how many people just open their homes to 7 or 8 teenage boys and 3 or 4 little girls and let them live with them and take care of them and feed them and send them to school? And yeah, I mean, it's not like they do foster care or anything like that. They don't get paid for that. They're not getting any sort of help. They do that all on their own, and which is, you know, that's the heart of God right there, just to love on people and to give them love. And so I think that's what they're doing is really honorable and really awesome. So on Wednesday night, we had church, and I ministered. I danced to Heaven on Earth and Shekinah, and then I also danced with the little kids to Awaken Me. I did it with them, but in the back so they could see me. But it was good. I really loved being able to do that with the kids, and they really enjoyed it, and they were really excited to show off what they had learned. And so that was awesome, and I got to just kind of worship a little bit because I got to, you know, show how I do it with my dance ministry. And I think that it was awesome for me because I felt just really strengthened by it and really empowered by it. But, like, afterwards, you know, some of the kids and stuff came up and just would hug me and then run away. And I think that their dance team and stuff really was a little bit, it was good for them to see some other people doing it. And Tyler ministered. He just, for a short amount of time, Pastor Ron just wanted him to give a quick testimony or something because they were still going to do preaching and stuff. And so he talked about, you know, a little bit about his testimony and, you know, where we'd come and how we got there. And so that was really good. And it was good to have him there. And there was another guy that was there the same time we were. His name was Eddie. And he was there as a missionary, but he had been there for 5 weeks, and that was his last week. And so that was his last service before he left. So he ministered a little bit too. And he was pretty cool. He's from South Carolina. But his parents went to church with Pastor Ron whenever they were in New York, too. So Melanie actually knew his parents and his grandparents, which is crazy because we didn't even know he was going to be there. And then Melanie knew who this guy was. I mean, she didn't know him, but she knew his family and everything. So they had already had that connection before we even got there, which was really cool. So Wednesday was awesome. And then Thursday was our last full day there. So since we had already done the stuff with the kids and everything, they took us out to see the Mayan ruins, which was amazing. The pictures there don't even do it justice. They were, I mean, enormous. They were huge, just these giant temples or structures or whatever that were built, you know, way back when by hand. And all those bricks in the ruins were hand-carved out of a stone and then built up for that. And it was quite the trek up there. The steps were, like, as tall as my calves. So you're, like, climbing them as you're going up. And there's no rails. There's no rails. And the steps are, like, this thin. So you're, like, hugging the wall while you're walking up them. Thankfully, there was a staircase on the side, so we didn't have to go straight up the front like you saw. Because, I mean, that was, like, straight up. But so it was a little bit more inclined. But once you got up to it, then you had to do their steps the rest of the way to the top. But the view from the top was just breathtaking. I mean, it was gorgeous, and you could see, like, you could see Guatemala from up there and stuff, and just, like, being up there and just seeing just God's beauty was just amazing, and it was gorgeous, and I was glad that I got that opportunity. And then Friday we left, and we went home, so that was sad, but it's all right. But I just want to talk about the services a little, because, you know, I really felt God moving in their church and stuff. And their church was, I mean, it wasn't really too different per se. They did worship, and then they had a preacher. And their worship wasn't even a worship team. They played CDs and sang along to them because they didn't have a worship team. they had two girls with a microphone, and then they just played the CDs. And the girls, you couldn't even hear them. You could only hear the CD. But in spite of that, you know, God still moves. You know, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there with them. And I think that that is a really powerful scripture and a powerful thing just to be a part of. And, you know, always when I think of a good service or I think of a good message, I think of, you know, six people got saved and 10 people got filled with the Holy Ghost and 8 people got slain in spirit and, the crowd was on fire and they were amening the pastor and they were yelling. But that's not what makes a good service, you know. I can get really loud, but that doesn't mean I'm being a good preacher, you know. I think what makes a great service is when God moves, is when God is present. And that's what I really noticed, because they didn't have an altar call or anything like that where people were getting slain in the spirit, but I felt the anointing there. I felt the presence of God there, and that's what makes something powerful. And that's what gives, you know, what makes a good service or a great message, is having it move. And I, you know, God moves in what seems like an ordinary situation, what seems really ordinary or really mundane or really routine. God can still move at that. But you have to be receptive to it. And I think that sometimes we think that if God's moving, you know, everyone's going to feel it. But sometimes maybe just God's moving in you and showing you something. You know, what I'm feeling or what God's showing me might be different from the person sitting next to me. But if God's moving in me, then I'm going to be receptive to that. And I'm going to be, you know, open to that. And I think that that is what I really saw in their services, is that there wasn't anything, you know, extremely fantastic about them, but God was moving in those services, and I really felt that. So now I'm going to talk about what God showed me a little bit. You know, I going into it, I knew that this trip was not just for me to minister, to pour out, but to be poured into, and I knew that God was going to do some things with me. And Lisa had ministered a while before about being in God's rest, and that sometimes you think you're at rest, but your mind's not at rest or your heart's not at rest. And I think, so that's what I'm going to talk about first, is like that's kind of the first thing. God really showed me some true rest and peace. And I came home and I kept saying, I was so relaxed there. I was so relaxed. And Mom's like, how were you relaxed? There are scorpions and snakes and all kinds of bugs. How were you relaxed? She's like, you don't like stickiness and it was humid there. I said, I don't know. I just felt really relaxed. So that brings me to my first scripture, which is Colossians 3:15, if we can pull that up. But, you know, I hadn't really felt peace in a while. I hadn't really felt that true, where you just feel just completely still before God. There's nothing going through your mind. You're just resting in Him. If you can't get it, that's okay. I'll find it on my Bible. But it's in Colossians is the first one. I should really learn to mark my scriptures. Every time I preach, I forget, and then I have to search through my Bible. Okay. And so, yeah. 3:15. So that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's what really really stood out to me a little bit about that verse, is that I can have that peace. I can have that true rest. And I think that it really was a little bit, it capped off what some of the things that I had been ministered to at camp about just being rejuvenated and being refreshed. And I'd felt close with God again. And I'd felt Him again, which, you know, it had been a long struggle, but I still didn't have that peace where I was just calm and at peace. And I think there, just, I don't know if it's just that environment or just the timing or a combination of everything, but God really showed me what that true peace was, and that was awesome. So my next scripture is Matthew 11:28-29. And that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And, oh, there it is. And in the message, that says, I'll show you a real rest. And I love that. I'll show you a real rest. And so, again, like Lisa had ministered that one morning, you know, so often we're laying in bed and we're, you know, you can be asleep or you can be tired, and you think you're resting because you're laying down and your feet are up, but you're not really in a true rest. You're not really at peace. Your mind's still going a million miles an hour. You're still questioning things. Things are still on your mind. You know, you never really seem to be at rest. And I think that just God allowing me to enter into that real rest, I got some peace for some things that I was struggling with and some issues. You know, I had just gone through a rough year. I just had a rough year. You know, everyone has them. We go through struggles. We go through trials. Things come up against you, and sometimes you feel a little bit defeated, or you feel like, you know, things just aren't going to stop. You know, when's my mind going to stop? When are these things going to stop coming at me? And that's what I had been up to, going through up to that point. Is I just felt just nonstop things, just myself, or things coming at me. And it was difficult for me. And then I went here, and I had my phone and everything, but I didn't really look at it that much, so I didn't really use my phone that much. I didn't have a computer. I didn't, you know, we weren't watching TV. The only TV we watch is we watch the World Cup on Sunday afternoon. You know, we were just outside. We were doing things. I was kept busy. You know, I got a chance to keep my mind off things. I didn't know what was going on at home. I didn't know what was going on anywhere else, and it was just a time for me to just clear my mind and enter into that peace, because I think that's such an important part that we forget about our relationships with God. Is, you know, so often we want to talk to Him and we want to tell Him about our problems and we want to tell Him what's going on. And, you know, that's great, you know, that we can be able to be open with God and let Him know about those things. But what is going to truly give you some rest and some peace is just being still before God and allowing Him to talk back into your life. You know, you can only pour out before you need poured back into. You can only pour out so much before you need to be poured back into. And I think that's really what God was showing me, is I'd poured out all I could and I needed to be poured back into. But to do that, I had to be still and I had to be at rest. And that's when He gave me His peace. So that was really awesome that, you know, that's something that He got to share with me and place on my heart. But another thing He showed me was the heart of a servant. And that's something that, you know, I'd been taught for a long time, and I'd, you know, been taught to have the heart of a servant, but I'd not really been able, or I haven't not been able, but I didn't really put it into action very much. And it's something that, you know, it's a really noble quality, and it's a really important quality to have, to be able to serve. And just being in the midst of it, it really showed me kind of the heart of a servant. And it makes me think, too, when Lisa ministered about being a David. You know, if you need a shepherd, I'll be a shepherd. You need someone to kill a giant, I'll kill a giant. You know, he was anointed as king from way before all that. But before he got to the point of king, he saw the calling and he saw the need, and he took that as his calling, which I think is really powerful. But the first scripture I'm going to use for that is 1 Corinthians 4:1. And that says, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God." And so we have to remember, as we're serving, that, you know, first and foremost and primarily, we're, you know, we serve Christ. That's who, you know, we are servants to. And not in the, you know, we do whatever He says sense, but in we are overjoyed to be in a relationship with Him, that we want to do things for Him and we want to serve Him. But through that, you can serve others, and that can be the heart of Christ. And, you know, the work of Christ is, you know, I was able to serve in their church. I was able to serve in that library, you know, and those were some of the things that, because I was a servant of Christ, I was able to serve in other areas and other instances. And so the next one I want to talk about is Matthew chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. And it says, "And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. In this sense, this scripture is really kind of talking more about when, you know, persecution's thrown at you and things are thrown at you, you know, just be open to it and have a good heart about it. But the way I want to look at it is go in that extra step. You know, when someone says to do something, go that little extra bit. You know, if they say, "Can you please sweep the floors?" You know, don't just sweep them, but, you know, vacuum them or wash them. If, you know, they want you to do the dishes, we'll set the table too. You know, go and just do that little bit extra to show them, you know, to show them your love and to show them that you care and stuff. And the last scripture I want to use for this is Matthew 5:3-10. And those are the Beatitudes. And always heard Grandma say it, they're the attitudes to be in. So I think that's really powerful. And as you know, having a servant's heart and having that mindset of a servant, I think that these are really important because it shows you how to act and it shows you how to be in your attitude. And that mentality, I think, is really important and serving, because you need to be humble, you need to be meek. You know, all those things are important qualities when serving, because when you're serving, it's not about you, it's about who you're helping out and who you're working towards. So those say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those, I already read that one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think the Beatitudes are something that you can always apply to your life, and no matter what, since you're talking about, you know, it doesn't just have to be a servant, you know, all those things, you know, they really are attitudes to be in, you know. Be poor in spirit, be meek, be humble, you know, hunger and thirst for righteousness. All of those things are things that we need to live out on a daily basis. But I think in the sense of being a servant and having a servant's heart, they become so much more important. Because when it's not just about your life or what you're doing, when it's not just about how you're living out, but how you're showing the kingdom of God and how you're showing the heart of Christ, I think it becomes just that much more important. And as I was, you know, trying to organize my thoughts a little bit and and write this out and kind of get my notes together for this morning, that's really what came to mind, was the Beatitudes, was having that spirit and having that that just mentality about what you do, about, you know, humbleness is not really my strong point. I like, I know, surprising, right? But, you know, generally when I do something, I like the recognition. I like to be called out for it. But it's something that I've had to work on in my relationship with Christ, because I know that when I'm doing something as a servant to Christ or a servant to God, when I'm doing something to show him, it's not me. It's not me. It's him. And it's not my place to get any credit for it or any glory for it. And so I want all of the glory to be to him, and I want all of the praises to be to him. And so those Beatitudes are something that I definitely hold close to my heart, because they can teach me how to be humble in my life in all senses. You know, they can teach me how to go out and help someone and never, you know, without having to tell anyone, you know, I did this. You know, I always loved when you'd hear the stories about Pap, who was just, you know, that you didn't even know half of them till he died, you know, about giving money for the wedding ring and stuff. Like, he never asked for recognition for that stuff. He never asked for praises for that stuff. He was just being a servant to God. He was just being a servant to Christ. And that's something that I think is extremely noble, and I want to do that too. You know, I want to be able to do things for God and never have anyone know about them, just being for God, and not feel the need to be like, hey, guess what I did this week? Guess what I did for this person the other day? You know, because it's not what it's about, and it kind of loses some of that specialness when you go out and you start praising on yourself, because it's not about your praise, it's about his praise. And so being there and being in that heart, I was really able to just to be a servant and kind of learn what it meant to be a servant. And, you know, there was always, if you say, hey, what can I do? They always had something for you to do. And what I really loved is that when we were down there, most teams that come down are a little bit bigger than three people, and so they want to build the houses and do stuff like that. So they go out and they build houses, and they do a lot of, like, hard labor and work in the communities, which is great. But Miss Linda said, she said, you know, normally most of the teams, they're coming down for Raw, and they want to build a house and work with all that. She said, no one ever comes down for me. She said, I never get help with the kids or anything like that. And she said, it's so great to have someone coming down to help me. For me, she said, you know, it's not... I'm able to, you know, do some more things with the kids and do a little bit of that because someone came down. And so I was so happy that we were able to bless her in an area where she doesn't really get a lot of help. because most of the people who come down, they want to work with the teenagers or they want to build the houses. And so to work with the little kids, it was great for the kids. And Miss Linda felt blessed and refreshed, and she was able to have someone help there. And normally, with the bigger teams, they go out and they build a house, and then after dinner, they come back and they swim in the river. But the weather wasn't really good that day, or why we were there to go swimming there, and we didn't really work up enough labor to really need to go swimming, because, I mean, we were doing things, but it wasn't like, you know, hard manual labor. We were teaching and sorting, and we weren't carrying trusses up a mountain. So we got to just spend some time with her and talk to her and chat. And we would, after dinner sometimes, she'd always make a snack for us before bed. And so while she was baking, she made lemon bars one night and scones and stuff. While she was doing some of that, and we just got to enjoy some of that fellowship. And I think it was good for her to have people her own age, well, at least adults. I guess I'm not really her age, but she had some adults, not just, you know, little Imani or some of the kids she works with. She had some people to really talk to and be there for her and just be able to communicate with her, which I think that really, really blessed her a lot. And I was really happy. And I love that I got to be able to be there. And I love that I got to be able to do that. And I loved that God taught me about a servant's heart and that I got that rest, you know, because it makes a world of difference when you're at peace. It makes a world of difference in how you walk, how you talk, and how you live your life, and how you do things. When you're at peace, things just don't seem so bad. Things just don't seem so stressful. And the only way that you can really enter into that peace is through God. And I think even just, you know, him showing me how to be a servant was a way to enter into that peace, because I was doing things that weren't about me. I was doing things that weren't about my problems. They weren't about the things I was facing. It didn't matter at that time what was going on in my life. What mattered was the task at hand and what I was doing and what it was going to do to glorify God and what it was going to do to bless the kingdom or to bless the people we were there with. You know, that was what was important at that time. And I put some of that importance that I had placed on myself, I got to take off. And some of that importance that I thought was important wasn't really that important. And just being able to focus on something else, to get a new perspective, I got to, in turn, be poured back into and to be blessed. And, you know, I thought all the messages that were spoken at church and stuff were spot on. And those kids were so just poor and had nothing, but they were so happy. Those people were so happy. And I got to go and take the kids home with Pastor Ron one day. He had buses, so he would take the kids all around and drop them off at their houses, because most of them don't have cars or anything. In some places, it's too far to walk, especially if you're a five-year-old kid. You don't want them walking halfway across the village by themselves. So he took them all home, and he's like, "Hey, Brooke, you want to come see where they live?" I was like, "Sure." So I went on there, and we're riding around, and most houses are one room with no electricity, no plumbing. They don't have indoor plumbing. And, you'll have, like, six or seven people living in that house, sometimes more. And a lot of the places look really run down. They're not pretty places, you know, or they're really, you know, grown up grass and stuff like that. And when you look at them, what you think is just, how do they live there? How do they, you know, how do they go day to day in that type of home? You know, I don't know what I would do without a toilet. I don't know what I would do without a shower. those are things that I hold very dear, but they don't have them at all. They don't have showers, you know, they don't have electricity, they don't have a TV in their house, they're sitting by candlelight, you know. At one point we went around and it was dark, and, you know, you'll see candles in the door frames and stuff, and there's kids just playing on the streets, no adults in sight, no one there watching them, making sure they don't get into things. There's like 3 and 4 year olds just playing on the street, you know, I mean, dirt just all over them, they're just coated in dirt, and it gets you, it pulls on your heartstrings a little, you know, it tugs on you a little, because I expected it to be poor, I did, but, you know, thinking about it and expecting it is way different from actually seeing it, you know, just having that, oh my gosh, moment. And like, even when we got to the airport, you know, we flew out of Dulles, which is a huge airport, and we had our layover in Houston, which is another huge airport. We get to Belize City Airport, and it's itty-bitty. And it's an international airport. But it's run down. It's, you know, the doors are like doors you would see in a house and stuff. They're like just wooden doors. And, it was just, I was shocked that it was an airport because my house was nicer than the airport. It wasn't a good place. You didn't think, wow, this is really nice. We were blessed enough that where we stayed, we had showers and toilets and stuff. We had, some electricity and things. So I was lucky that where we stayed with them on their, like, facility that we had some of those amenities. But those people live there every day, all the time. They don't have any of that. They don't have anything. But what I saw is that in the midst of that poverty and those struggles and those things, that what I saw is just, you know, all that. But, yeah, they loved Jesus, and they had so much joy. They were such a happy people and such a sweet people. Like, everyone I talked to while I was there was so nice. Like, even just the congregation in the church, like, I just loved the people. They were so nice, and they loved Jesus, and they had a real heart for God. They had a real heart. They had a hunger, and they were seeking, and I really loved that about them, that in the midst of all that, they were happier than I am half the time. They had so much joy. Those kids, they didn't know that they were missing anything. They were happy where they were at. They felt blessed to have what they did because there were a lot of people there who probably had a lot less than even that, which is not, you know, that's nothing. That's having nothing. And so just to see that joy and to see that, it blessed me and it made me realize, you know, that I should be happy with the blessings in my life, that, you know, I don't need to be complaining about things. I don't need to be complaining all the time, which I tend to be a complainer. I just kind of, I tend to see, I guess, some of the negative things in my own life, and I just want to complain about them. Or, you know, me and my dad always joke because my car, when you pop the trunk, makes a really funny noise. But I have a car that runs that I can rely on to get me to and from school. I should be happy about that, not embarrassed that my car is making a weird noise when I pop the trunk, you know. But just those things that, you know, you look at them seem so insignificant whenever you've seen that kind of joy. And that, you know, you realize that if we had none of this, if we were here and just a roof over our heads, it would still be the same God. It would still be the same church. It would still be the same experience. And, you know, and I loved that. I loved seeing that. I loved seeing the heart of the people. I loved being able to love on those people. And, you know, I told you before I left that I'd been ministered to about being a mother to the nations and that the nations were going to be birthed from my womb. And I think that what that really meant was I get to love on those people a little bit, and I get to nurture them as a mother would, you know. And I got the kids. I got to impart in their lives, and I got to be with them, and I got to hug on them. And those kids who didn't have parents or had rough home lives or whose siblings took care of them, I got to give them a little bit of love, and I got to be a part of that. And those people who have nothing but come in so joyful, come into that church so joyful, I got to experience that, and I got to be a part of that, and I got to see those things. And that means more to me than I think almost anything else did, was being able to see the heart of the people, being able to love on them and just, you know, without ever saying a word, just be there, you know. Every time I saw Amani, I just wanted to pick her up. And so we'd go play. We'd go, she'd want to go ride her bike. So we'd go down, we'd ride her bike, or we'd, there were kittens there, and she loved the kittens. She'd pick them up, and she, at one point, they were in a cardboard box that only fit the three kittens, and she tried to get inside of it with them. She moved them around so that she could fit in that box with them. And it was so cute. But I got to love on her a little bit, you know, a kid whose own mother didn't even want her. But I got to give her some love, and I got to play with her and talk to her. And, you know, I'm really glad that she has someone now who loves her, that, you know, Pastor Ron and Miss Linda are very, you know, good to all the kids who live there. But just all of that, it was so nice to just really get to know people. And there was one girl there, her name was Glendy. They're like, assistant to the youth pastor. It was his wife, and she had a little baby, and her baby was really cute. Her name was Leonie. But I got to connect with Glendy a little bit and talk, because she was about my age. She was 19, so she's a year younger than me. But, you know, I got to connect with her, and she was, you know, a brand new mother and a new wife, and she was so excited, and, you know, everything was great. And again, they just have that that joy that just exudes from everything they do. And I was happy that I got to experience some of that and learn what, you know, where our joy comes from is not from material things. It's not stuff, which, again, I had been taught all those things. But, again, seeing it with your own eyes is a really just different thing. And so, you know, I really got to see how it doesn't matter how much or how little you have. Your happiness comes from Christ, and your happiness comes from God, and your joy comes from the things that are within, not outside of you. And I think that having that pure love of Christ and that love in general and that happiness is really amazing. And through that, I really got to, you know, instill the heart of Word of Deliverance and just go in there and just love on them. Just go in there and be a servant. Go in there and be open to what God was doing in my life and be obedient to what he wanted me to do in theirs. You know, and I think that those are the things that I was taught as I was brought up in this church. I was taught to love people no matter what, to not judge them. I was taught to be a servant. I was taught to go in and be helpful and do what I could. And, you know, even if it was just sorting books, Miss Linda said it really needed done and it would normally take hours. Well, we got it done in a couple days and did the whole thing. You know, we were able to do those things. And I'm so glad that I was brought up in a place where those things were already a part of me and that I got to really see them come to pass there. I got to see some of the things that had been taught into me put into practice. And I want to thank you guys for sending me. I want to thank you guys for supporting me with financially and with your prayers. I know that you guys had my back the whole time. And for the opportunity to be able to go. And for loving me and teaching me how to love and how to serve. So I finish that. Thank you.
Quite possible we receive way more from the missions trips than they do when we get there, because sometimes the greatest impartation is to us as we go and receive from them. Amen.